I was kind of listening for the church to take the lead so that I could just, you know, be not going to be preaching. Amen. But all right, since I get the disappointment out of the way. Today, I am here to share with you basically just 3 points. The 20th sermon of the series, since you got the first one the last time I decided to, after asking God, what do? I decided to rest in the series and give you the last one, or share with you the last one, since it has been a blessing to my soul. I try to fulfill some of the labels they place on me. And since my father was deemed a storyteller, and some people think that I am, I will share with you a story. But I want you to pay attention to the message of the story more so than anything else. The story is told of a remarkable Nab's trapper stallion named Hugon. The stallion became champion of Denmark in 1991. Partnered with trainer Brent Banderup, Hugon was masterclass. A classical dressage showpiece. Do you know what dressage is? No. Okay, so let me pause there and just share with you. When you watch the Olympics, sometimes they have equestrian as a part of the Olympics. Dressage is when they get the horses to walk stylishly and they are parading it. Yes, they are trotting and they stop and they pose. And yes, so this horse was the champion of Denmark in 1991. The horse suffered breaking both rear femur and front splint bone in a breeding accident. The veterinarian recommended immediate euthanasia, but the trainer, Brent Banderup, said no. Banderup worked for years on healing the horse and training it. In 1996, the horse went completely blind in both eyes, but returned to training, trusting its trainer. Hugon left a legacy, a fulfilled long life, providing that deep trust and classical training, proving that deep trust and classical training can overcome immense physical limitations. The horse should have been put down, breaking one leg. It broke both rear femurs, splinted its front, one of its front leg. On top of that, went totally blind, but it continued performing at competitions, to the excitement and fulfillment of those who are present. I want you to think about all that you have been through, all the struggles you have faced. And I want you to see yourselves, if only for a short moment, what would you have done in the place of this horse? Wouldn't it have been easier to just go quietly? Or what caused this horse to be so trusting of its trainer that it would continue to go as long as the trainer guided it, though it had no sight? Bow your heads. Close your eyes. God's biggest ask. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. I need you now, one more time, to speak to me, through me, to us. And please, Lord, wrestle the souls of your children from the hold of destruction and land us into celestial halls where we truly represent the one who has chosen to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1 through 6 reads thus. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. God's biggest ask. I will spend the next few minutes on the question framed in verse 6. Cannot I do with you as this potter? God's biggest ask. My first point to us this day is that with God, we have and are everything. We have and are everything. We have and are everything. Okay. We have and are everything with God. We have and are everything. I'm not going to stop saying it until you start believing it. I want you to understand that where God is in place in our lives, we need to understand him for who he really is. With God, we have and are everything. And I don't want you to think anything ambiguous. I don't want you to think of anything else or anyone else. With God, we have and are everything.
From the 6 verses used for scripture reading, I want you to understand that God is not in the business of shortages. He did not make us with any deficiencies. He has supplied all our needs. He has bridged every gap that has been created in our lives. He has made sure that we are those who are enjoying pride of place among humanity. You see, if you have observed Seventh-day Adventists, or Seventh-day Adventism, there's a saying in Jamaica. Let me say it this way. A few years ago, one politician in Jamaica made the statement on a political platform that the Minister of Security needs to pay attention to the Seventh-day Adventist Church because it's the fastest growing church in the country. And as the Seventh-day Adventist Church is growing, so is the crime rate spiraling. I've said that to say this. If you did not want to be under observation, you should not have been baptized Seventh-day Adventist, because that means you're supposed to be the light. And even the blind, if you don't believe me, close your eyes and look towards, point your head towards anywhere the bulbs are glowing and see if you don't still see the light. Even when you're blind, you can see the light. The fact that you are sitting here, you are in the hearing of my voice, you are enjoying the breath of the living God. Understand that he claims you as his own. So with God, we have and are everything. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, God declares everything that he has made very good. The verses preceding that, it was good. 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 There were five goods. And then, after humanity was made, the capping of creation, the creme de la creme, God declares us very good. I want to segue to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby he are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one to another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want us to realize my intent on reading over and over again, with God we have and are everything, to the point where I want you not to look to your left or right, behind you or before you. I want you to turn your heads to the hills from whence cometh our help, understanding that we are valued in our relationship that we maintain with God. It's only God's way that achieve our success. With God. Tender-hearted. With God. No malice. With God. No wrath. With God. No anger. With God. No evil speaking. With God. Forgiving. With God, your redemption or redemption is secured. God's biggest ask is for us to realize that we are already chosen. We are already predestined for righteousness. We are already secured in glory if we only realize who God is for you, for me. God's biggest ask, point number two, God wants to and stays with us after we are broken. God wants to be with us, and God stays with us even after we are broken. To Sister Lyons and family, this is for you, that despite the tragedy, God still wants you to know, wants us to know that it is his choice to be with us. Broken though we be, God is still in his position. Genesis chapter 3 and verses 6 through to 10. Genesis chapter 3, 6 through to 10. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. If we continue Sabbath school lesson study review from this morning, husbands, fathers, leaders of households, Adam, and unto Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Did God know what happened?
Yes.
Did God know that they had lost their covering?
Yes.
But God, as is his custom made, he came to be with his creation. God wants to be with us, and God wants to stay with us even after we are broken. The tragedies that life bombards us with does not in any way dissuade God from an assignment that he placed on himself. God wants us to be in unison with him. So despite our deliberate going away from him, God keeps coming to be with you, with me. God wants to and stays with us even after we are broken. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, you know this one. The wages of sin is death. So, Pastor, if my theology is right, Eve should have died the moment she bit the fruit, and should not be able to have traveled to give Adam the opportunity to bite it also. So I ask myself the question, what is happening here? What is amiss? Because God knew what they did. God saw the consequences. He knew from the very beginning what the consequences were. And God did not fulfill Romans 6:23. If Eve had died, then God's coming would be unnecessary. If Eve had died, God would not have a couple to visit. Humanity would have again be rendered incomplete. And very good would have been reversed. But God, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. You didn't get it, so I'm going to read it according to Lansley Adolph Blake print of the Bible. You see, the death that Eve's action secured for herself, the death that Adam's action compelled humanity to, the lamb was slain for the skin to be used again to cover God's creation, making it fitting to be in the presence of God as he comes in his customary way to be with creation. I want you, Shalom, to understand that God wants to be with us. He wants to stay with us to the point where before the very foundation of the earth was laid, he declares that the plan of salvation was put in place. God ensures that we are always covered in a way befitting, reflecting the image of the God of our creation. God's biggest ask There's a song, Empty and Broken. I came back to him, a vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. I don't know if you're drawing the connections. So let me reverse and go back to the first point I was trying to make. With God, we have and are everything, because even when we get to the point of being broken, separated from God, losing, having lost the glory of God with which we were covered, he comes again to cover us again, to make us able to stand in his presence again with God. We have and are everything. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashioned the clay, a vessel of honor. Hugen submitted itself to its trainer, broken, 3 of 4 legs, blinded, both eyes, but trusting in the hand that guided it to a place of honor. Champion of Denmark! Oh, come on, we've got to be better than horses. Children of God, we have the ability to reason. God has touched us individually, but horses respond to their guides, and we are stuck in a vacuum, divided from a God who continues to come to be with us. He is the potter. I am the clay, molded in his image, the way he wants me to stay. Don't miss this. Eve should have died. Adam should have died. But God wants us covered with his righteousness and his righteousness alone. He wants us as replicators of the image of the Godhead. Understanding when I stumble and I fall and my vessel break, he just pick up the pieces. He didn't throw the clay away. Your challenges are minuscule, and I know you're hurting, but I'm saying it this way because this is the way Jeremiah chapter 18, 1 to 6 puts it. Dust we are. Dust is something trodden on the foot. Who is walking on you? Who is walking on you? God formed, framed, shaped the dust into an image to replicate who he is. Breathe into the image. The dust under your shoe was given value, pride of place, because it now embodied the breath of God. We stand up not as mere humans, but as sons and daughters of God, princes and princesses for glory. So despite the sun baking the ground, the dust, despite life's challenges pressing you down, understand that the same God who formed the sun to bake you like that falls the rain. And that rain is a blessing to fill the recesses of our souls to the point where we are able to hold sufficient moisture to the next moment when the sun bakes again. Because in this life, according to Mark 10 and verse 28 to 30, with everything else that we get in life, there will be persecution. Some years ago, our lesson study took us under the caption of crucibles. I can hear the singers singing, no cross, no crown, no pain, no gain. Children of God, understand that you are not just here passing through. You have to make a mark. You have to leave an example. You have to set a standard and keep it. God's best ask. Point three, God chose and chooses us. God chose and chooses us. He made angels. Heaven was full. He came to earth. Covered under water, having been made by him for the purpose of this particular time when God's character, immutable, would be represented and reflected to creation, even those dwelling in glory. The angels are not made in God's image. Despite them being in celestial place, understand that God chose you. God chose you. My sister, my brother, young brother, young sister, God chose you. It gets better. There's a song. I learned it before I became a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I don't know about you, but I cringe every time I go to Wednesday night meeting and they're having testimonies. Or when somebody stand up in church, as the opportunity was offered earlier, to give testimony and they say, I thank God for the best thing that God did for me was when he saved me. You haven't met God yet. Because the God who chose you is still choosing you. And he wants to be with you. And he wants you to be assured that you have him means that you have everything. I want you to understand this day, Shalom, that God chose and God chose and God still chooses you. Acts chapter 26 and verse 27 and 28. Acts chapter, oh come on, I'm moving too fast with my fingers, going faster than my brain. Slow me down, Lord, because I need to get this in. Paul to King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He asked a question but did not wait for an answer. It may have been ironic. It may have been whatever you choose to coin it since you are English students. I know that thou believest. Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters, you have heard a multitude of sermons. I know that you believe the prophets. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Pastor, the reason you have so much trouble in the church in Shalom is because you don't have too many Christians. You can't throw me out now. We are family. You invited me to be. This is my church. I can talk about my people. I would have cautioned you, but you know, the Holy Spirit didn't prick me, so I allowed you to go where you were going. I already knew what was here to come. That is your mistake, but I've got good news for you. God chose you. He's choosing you right now. And he will continue to choose you because that's the nature of the God we serve. God's biggest ask is for us to realize what God's intent is for you and for me. You believe the prophets. I am not asking the question. I am telling you that I know that you believe. Verse 26 of the same Acts 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from you. For this thing was not done in a corner. The Seventh-day Adventist Church have the 28 fundamental beliefs. Church manual. Pastor's manual, elder's manual, Leaders Handbook, Young Discipleship Handbook. We have a whole heap of literature. And guess what? You don't even have to buy it. They're online. You don't even have to buy it. When I bought my set of the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, I paid $28,000+ for it. And while I was still at NCU, Pastor, that thing was dropped to less than $9,000. I literally was upset with God because I could have had $19,000 in my pocket. But here is what. Every good preacher must equip him or herself. Every child of God must go to the dinner table to be fed. So, for those of you who don't read your Bibles, you're going to have to read something else. Or you're going to be very mager. You will be very thin spiritually. According to Acts 26, 27 and verse 28, conviction to the point of believing, but unwilling to let go of the secret sins that you love, that we love so much. Agrippa was convicted. He believed, but he was unwilling to let go of what he cherished. And they are not even secret sins anymore. You know, humanity, we are really foolish. Hugin, legs being broken, eyes blinded, became public knowledge. All the persons who were present went and told somebody else. I have never been to Denmark, but I know this story. You think that that thing that you love to do, that you don't want me to know, that is only you who know it? The person who you're doing it with and for, they know it. And you are not the only ears they speak in. In these days, they even have... Sorry, I don't have my phone to you. These days, they even have pictures. They have evidentiary support for your secret story. Open your eyes. It's not a secret. Why hold on to it? Because Shalom equals Agrippa every time. Conviction fail to guarantee conversion. I'm going to say that another way. We are no different than Agrippa, knowing all that Paul said to be true, knowing that every word of scripture given by inspiration has its value for reproof, for doctrine, for the transformation of souls. You know that already. So you are no different. We are no different than Agrippa. When the word of God does not bring conversion to our souls. Amen. Not for the first time. Israel not only broke the prophet Jeremiah, but this time they have also again, broken God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, it was the lamb that died in the space of Eve who first disobeyed, and Adam who complied with her disobedience. It was the lamb that died when you and I should have died, ought to have died. God took our place. Broken! God, in fulfilling the demands of Romans 6:23, the lamb was slain to cover man's sin, man's shame. I know I just trekked out into dangerous waters because I am saying that man broke God. Oh, yes, I know. Let me quickly rectify this. Turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 6, chapter 18, rather, and verse 6. Cannot I do with you as this potter? What did the potter do? Cannot I do with you as this potter? This sentence is God's formal complaint being registered that despite his every effort, humanity has removed God's ability to save us. Let that sink for a moment. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. But we have incapacitated God where God cannot save you and me. I want you to read the line, the sentence again. It ends with a question sign. Cannot I do with you as the potter? When the clay refused to yield itself, to give up itself to the will of the potter, then the potter cannot elevate the clay to the point where it is presented a glorified pot. I'm going to say that another way. God will not rape your will. God gifted you and me the ability to make choices. The decision is ours, whether we yield our souls to God or we continue in rebellion and disobedience that separates us from the God who makes us all in all, who wants to be with us individually. When the clay refuses to yield, to give up to the potter, with it literally removes the potter's ability to save it from destruction, from death. God's biggest ask to you, to all, is why won't you allow me to save you? Amen. Cannot I do with the clay as this potter? Clay is mere dirt to be trodden underfoot. But God wants to lift you up, to lift us up to a place where we are celebrated. You're convicted. You believe, but you're not saved. Agrippa, King Agrippa, who made you king? Who allows you to be on the throne? Who gave you respect? Who kept you through the hard times? Yeah. Look back to where he has been carrying you from. See yourself where you are now. You know, Pastor, it challenges me that there were times when in my life, I needed somebody to be doing something for me. You didn't say amen, because all of you were born big.
Yes. All of you were born big. But you get to the place where you have learned some things. So your chest gets puffed up. Your chin is leveled. Well, that's how they teach us to walk. Level your chin, boy. Straighten your shoulders. Straighten your back. Yes, because you are of value now. People are seeing you. Mm-hmm. King Agrippa. Yes, you have somebody. People that I can look upon you now, boy. Yes, young ladies, people's sons see you as beautiful. Mm-hmm. I wonder, how did you come to be that? Who allowed you to be that? Who made you to be that? Understand that it is God who provided for us in the lean days, so we can feel worthwhile in the days of plenty. It is not any good thing that you have done. King Agrippa is dead. You are the Agrippas of today. Every time when the word of God does not achieve conviction, resurrection from the secret sins, you are Agrippa. And I say Agrippa is dead. A broken pot is unfit for presentation. I could go on, but I'll just share this with you. At the back of the oven of a properly constructed potter's house is a trap door. No broken pot gets taken through the front door. No broken pot is presented on presentation morning. There's a long ramrod that is used to push out the broken pot into the field of destruction where nothing grows. Understand that the trials have come to make us stronger. Understand that whatever the heat you are undergoing, the hotness of the time, the pressure of your situation in this life is to make you shine the more. For it is at 3,000 degrees C that the oven is burnt for the last time. And I want you to know that clay loses all its properties burnt at 3,000 degrees C. Useless thereafter. So if you're not shining, help me, Holy Ghost. If you don't make it to where you will be presented, you know where you are. God's biggest ask. Is for us to hear him say, cannot I present you to my Father in glory? Why do you want destruction for yourself? Because guess what? There is a presentation morning. There are pots that will be presented. God will be glorified with or without you. God's biggest ask.